Trust in the Lord with all your for us to say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Look, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be strong and courageous. But then when something happens, is it always as easy when the situation comes? So I want y'all to know that even though you may feel fear, you may feel discouraged, you may feel like, I just don't know if I can really trust God and live it out, you can do it.
Amen.
Because no matter how you feel, your actions don't have to line up with how you feel.
Yes.
So we're going to sing a song, and it's talking about how no matter what you go through, if you just keep your eyes on who? Come on, tell me. If you keep your eyes on me,
Jesus.
If you keep your eyes on your parents, if you keep your eyes on pastor and your leaders, if you keep your eyes on who? On Jesus, on God, he will lead you. So even when the enemy is coming on all these different ways and you hear him, you can keep your eyes focused on him and trust in the Lord. All right. So what I want you to do, you can bow, you can lift your hands, but just take some time in this moment to just speak to the Lord yourself and ask him to help you. The Holy Spirit is here as a guide to help you, to lead you.
Feet may fail.
sing it again, say Spirit lead. Whenever you get discouraged, just lift it up and say, together. So Spirit lead, Spirit lead me where my trust
let me walk wherever take me deeper. Hey, yes, God, I'm gonna follow you.
So I will call upon your name,
Jesus,
and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest. Say, I am yours. For I am
yours.
Yes, and you. For your presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you so much that we are yours. that we have a place that we belong. Help everybody in this room, no matter the age, to remember that they have a place with you. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. There is peace. That when the oceans rise and the waves are just making all of this noise, that you are the one who says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you.
Stay right there. Everybody stay right there. Stay right there. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. One of the things that was mentioned in the song is, I am yours and you are mine. And Ms. Cachet mentioned it, but I think a lot of us are looking for to have a sense of belonging. You want to fit in with people. You want to belong to a crowd. You can't fit in at school. You might be struggling to fit in with your family. You might be adopted. And you're trying to fit in, but you can't find anywhere where you can feel a sense of, yes, I belong here. You're looking for a sense of belonging. You're looking for a sense of acceptance. But your friends won't accept you. Your family won't accept you. The people at the school won't accept you. They won't accept you on social media. Everybody's just rejecting you. I want you to know something, that you belong in the kingdom of God. You belong in the family of God. And in John chapter 1, it says, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong in the family of God. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong in his kingdom, which means you have purpose, you have acceptance, you have freedom from the issues that you're dealing with that seem to be rising and overcoming you, and you can overcome it, whatever it is. And so I want you young people to know that you belong here in this place. We are standing on holy ground right now. Isaiah 6 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is a sacred moment right now. You are in the presence of God and you belong here. Because of Jesus Christ and only because of him. You are accepted. You are loved. You are cherished in Jesus Christ. And in him only you belong. And so if you're still looking for somewhere to fit in, look no further than here. You belong here. And I want you to know that before you leave today. That might have been just for one person in here. You can be confident that you belong here in this place, in the kingdom of God, in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for every person in this room, even adults. We're all looking to be accepted somewhere. But I pray, God, that we would find our belonging in you. That you would be our warm embrace. You're that loving father that Luke 15 talks about, who can't wait till the prodigal son comes back to just embrace him. And not only embrace him, but throw him a party, because your son who was lost is now found. So God, I just pray for any son, any daughter in here who has wandered away from your path, God, that they would come back. And we just know and we're confident what your word says, that you will embrace them. And that heaven will throw a party because your son, your daughter that was lost has come back and is now found. And they have a sense of belonging in your kingdom, in the place that you have prepared for them. And so I pray for every young person in here that they would know that in you, that because of Jesus Christ, they are accepted. And they don't have to look for that acceptance, that belongings anywhere else. They have it in Jesus Christ. We love you so much, Lord, because you first loved us, and we did nothing to deserve it. You simply chose to love us. You've chosen these young people in here, and I pray that they would understand that they are chosen for this generation to spread the gospel and the good news that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, not just to get us to heaven, but to get heaven to come down here and invade our history and our life circumstances so that we can see lives changed, so that we can see families restored, so that we can see legacies left and impact made on people. May you move, may your spirit move on every young person in here. We believe in the power of your word and the power of your spirit. We don't need a screen. We don't need media. We don't need anything else. What we need is prayer and the word, and we can spark something big in this generation. I pray that these young people will embrace it, that they will walk in their calling that you have called them to. They're called and they're chosen. And I pray that every young person will walk out of here knowing that they are called and chosen for this generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beast. Now, I'm not talking about the fairy tale monsters hiding prince beneath their pride. Nor am I talking about those who seek the consumption of wisdom yet still infant to change. However, I'm speaking toxic, killer croc deadly, beast that roam the sewers in order to find open streams, beast in the form of man looking to swim in weakness so they can take control of damaged territory thirsting for freedom. Piranhas camouflaging in koi pond, masking in beauty, but inside quite deadly. Attacking as soon as your blood becomes aroma. They were sent to try to twin to your senses. Sons and daughters of darkness. You try praying for them, but the only way a seed of grace can grow in their hearts is by the light of the sun. But be warned. Beware of the wool implants implanted by ungodly surgeons who know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. Illegal citizens to the gates of heaven, legally blind Cretans, not knowing all of Sodom and Gomorrah's sown, will reap eternal blows upon their own souls. Damaged hearts, damaging hearts, find their way into temples before the rooster crows. Then like youth, grabbing midnight snacks, then tiptoeing away when the scent of pleasure fades from the vicinity. Or they hit you with FaceTime with their imagery. Needing your FaceTime, consume your screen time, time and time again. It's almost as if demons became playwrights and directors, wounding the broken on screen and in person. And you try to prevent this type of curiosity from spreading to the youth, but how can you? When your society's norm is softcore porn, a culture that welcomes perversion with open arms like the first day of school. Given the perception it'll be easier to handle down the line, not realize it's only searching for the first weak child like daycare of this arsenic influence, this heavy grip to your soul. Dear brothers and sisters, I understand your pain. I've been struck yet not killed to no feeling. Feeling as if everyone is opponent to you. Feeling as if you are stuck in the ramifications of the very ones who conceived you. Finding blame on souls who were once in your shoes, unknowingly making your ears vomit the love they give because the honest words in which they consume became laxative. Waiting for the diary of your heart to properly flow through the bowels of their soul. But if the truth stays trapped in the tomb of fear, then the child is being trained by whom, I wonder? Either you've fallen into the hands of the lost or their vices located in the vices your hurt has history. And the days counting to that moment was something that met your wounds in ambush. You see, the infiltration of your fortress typically happens when the watchmen assigned the guard are caught in distraction. You see, the struggles of this world have become the very lure to keep them astray away from watching that front door. And this is where the head of the home must be present in attack. Because all the serpent needs is the crack of door to slither in. Since the genesis of households, we have been shown what happens when Adam lets his guard down. Eve, encountering a damned fiend posing as friend while Adam, present yet caught slipping, will lead to birthing dysfunction on the very soil they called home. Proving active awareness has a crucial trait by the head in which leads by his relationship with the very one who created him. Now, if a man having his guard down for just a moment could bring death and destruction amongst him and all the children after him, imagine a father not being present for days or eternity. From momentary love, marriages ending in man-made reasons for separation, to the man that lacked knowledge on affection, to the man who made their presence ghost because all they could do is emulate those they never had connection with. And lastly, those whose organs rest in casket, an eternal excused absence. Dear brothers and sisters, these are just examples of the very things implemented to beset you in the generations after. Giving families new situations to handle so they will not know the very obstacles they face. No longer loving each other, but causing most to rely on thyself. Because temptation and death thrives when you become glutton of your weakness and pride. But you see, the manipulation into your fall is just what one whom fallen from God's goodness will want you to do. Blinding you to not know you overcome your weakness is where the King of Glory thrives. Where your tears and heartache turn slumber. Subtracting your problems by adding more sheep for the shepherd to guide Jesus. One who chose to die for your very troubles, carrying the weight of your pain so that you have a chance to reside in eternal glory. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to carry the weight of your pain so that you have a chance to live peacefully past death. So cast the weight of your burdens upon him and he will lead you from those who seek your demise. For evil seeks for your pride to become king. And for you to infect others with trauma and hurt, not telling you you're slowly becoming the pallbearer to your own casket. Like starving wolf licking the blood of pleasure off a blade of a guillotine, which will tend to find himself head first, feeding his lust of life, becoming suicide. However, to all who's listening, there's still some time for all. So do not be afraid. But beware of who you choose to let anchor to your soul. For it is a matter of life and death. Thank you.
Me and Gabby are here today to bring you the scoop, our weekly scoop, our weekly announcements. So first, we have our Girls Giving. Ladylike is happy to partner with the Turnaround Agenda, which is basically the donation box for this church, the donation organization that is partnered with this church for a day of giving. So if you are in Ladylike, which is our girls mentorship program here at the church, we will have an awesome volunteer opportunity for you.
So if you need a mentor, the applications for Ladylike mentorship is in the back table and they are due today. And we will also have no youth service for Fifth Sunday, so join us across the street for the worship in the main sanctuary.
Amen. And congratulations to all who were baptized today. So we had a lot of awesome people. That's something to clap about, y'all, who had the opportunity to show that they've given their life to Christ. So that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. What else you got for us?
So we also have our Harvest Fest, which is this upcoming Saturday, October 29th. Shy Speaks and DJ Gabriel will be there. We're going to have games, fun rides, candy, face painting, pony rides, and even more. So try to bring a friend.
Amen. And then next, this Wednesday night is our Hot Topic night. So we want all of y'all to be here. It's going to be more of an open, conversational style Wednesday night. So if you have questions about anything regarding the Bible, about anything that you're dealing with in life, this Wednesday night is definitely a night you want to be here. We start at 7, it's going to go from 7 to 8, and then we have pregame, which is going to be from 6 to 7.
So as a reminder, please silence your phones and put them away along with your earphones, and please remove your hoodies because we want us to be respectful while we're giving the word.
Lastly, we want to make sure that you guys are plugged in with our youth ministry here. This is following us on social media is going to be one of the main ways that you find out about events and volunteer opportunities. So be sure to follow us at Next Level Youth W3 on Instagram. And we'll also have our Remind posted in the back. So if you're not plugged into our Remind, definitely make sure you get plugged into that as well. And that's all of our announcements. That's our scoop for the week. So we hope you guys enjoy service.
Thank you, Kelly and Gabby. Hey, real quick, raise your hand if you're in middle school. If you're in middle school, Kingdom Servants, make sure you check in tags. Middle school, you should be upstairs. This is high school only, so grades 9 through 12. A quick few additional announcements. This is all high school, so for HEAT, which stands for Higher Education Action Team, the last day to register for HEAT is November the 20th. So if you want to get involved in scholarships and knowing and understanding, getting prepped for SAT, PSAT, all of the college stuff, make sure you attend that meeting. And the next one is there every third Sunday at 1 o'clock here in the youth chapel. So make sure you're a part of that. Especially, raise your hand if you're a senior. Okay, you need to be there, right? It's free money, free opportunity. So make sure you are there. I want to recognize a few people. I need Imani to stand up. Go ahead, stand up, Imani. And Jeremiah, he's back there on the camera. And then John Morgan, where you at? John Morgan here? He's not here. Okay, that's why I was about to recognize him. And Chris, I want you to stand up too. Chris Phillips, stand up. Okay, so I was able to go support Imani. She had a show, a play this past Friday. She did past Thursday, sorry. She did a great job. You had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How many times? So, yeah, I could see it. Yeah, I could see it. You maybe see it. I just wanted to recognize her. She played, her character was Megan Jones, and she did an amazing job. It was 3 hours, too, so that's a lot to remember. We got some actors in here. It was funny, too. She started hitting the Dougie. It was funny. You want to show us? No. It's all good. Jeremiah, he played the percussion for Cedar Hill Band. They were amazing. Man, they did an awesome job. I think we had somebody else DM me and said they were part of the DeSoto Band. I don't know who you are. Maybe raise your hand. If you go, you play the DeSoto Band? Okay, stand up, man. Hey, y'all clap it up for him. Good job, man. Yeah, they won. DeSoto won, but I think Cedar Hill, let's be fair. Look, Malcolm and Darren were there too, so. And then John Morgan, so he's actually at a basketball tournament right now, so I was gonna recognize him, but. And then lastly, too, I want to recognize Chris. You did something amazing last week. He brought a friend. She's actually back. Wave your hand, Ollie. Wave your hand. Chris invited a friend, a neighbor, right, who came to church last Sunday, her first time being here, and she happened to be one of the people who accepted Christ for her first time. And so I wanted to share that before you all, first to commend Chris for doing that, because a simple invite to the church, say, hey, you want to go to church with us, changed her entire life. Changed her entire life. You'd be surprised. A simple invitation to your friend at school. You say, hey, man, come to church with us. And it can change the entire course of their life. Right? You can impact somebody's life, young people. It's in your hands, but you got to do it. And so I wanted to commend Chris for doing that. We're so proud of you, so thankful for you for doing that. Hey, guys, make sure you're inviting friends, okay? Okay, one other thing that God placed this on my heart. I was in my small group, and I wanted to do this real quick. Listen up. Listen up. Prayer is talking to the one you love most.
That was the definition from a little child that one of the persons in my small group shared. He said, prayer is talking to the one you love. I'm sorry, talking to the one that loves you the most. And it's a shame that we neglect the one who loves us the most. So I just want to take a quick moment to pray for you all, because I said this earlier, but I really believe in the power of prayer for this generation. And I want to inspire you to believe, too, as well, in the power of prayer. So everybody bow your head and close your eyes real quick before we go into offering. Dear Lord, I just want to pray for every student in this room that they would cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, that they would see it as talking to the one who loves them the most. Even when they don't feel like it, God, I just pray that you would arrest their hearts, arrest their minds so that they grow in the word and understanding your word, and that they would grow in their prayer life, which is so essential to their Christian life. I pray that this place would become a place, a house of prayer, that we would hold prayer to be in high esteem, high on the priority list. I pray that these young people, their hearts, they would have a heart to pray for their students that surround them, that they would go to schools and pray for people. Pray for the person that's sitting next to them in the cafeteria and just ask the person, hey, how can I pray for you? I just pray, Lord, that they would have that heart and that we would take prayer more seriously, because it can change everything. All the great revivals in U.S. history, it started with prayer. It didn't take a lot of stuff. It took prayer. And so, Lord, I just pray that these young people would have a lifestyle of consistent prayer, like Daniel, even if it's not three times a day on their knees. I just pray that they would set aside, schedule a time in their day where they're just talking to the one who loves them the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just came today to talk about the word just a little bit, if we can. And here's how I talk about the word. And Chris will tell you if I'm lying. I try to just be honest because I don't want any of you here to be set up. Okay? And so today we're going to just talk about the word. We're going to really lock in to Joshua a little bit. I got to know more about this strong and courageous. So we're going to lock in there, and we're just going to chat. And if I ask y'all, will y'all talk back to me?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I need. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for opportunity. Lord God, we thank you that you prepare us for everything. God, even if we don't feel prepared, your facts, Lord God, are what matters. So we thank you. I pray that as you allow me to decrease, God, and you increase. God, your word prevails. Lord God, in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Okay. So who brought their Bible? Who brought the Bible? All right, you got it on your phone? That's fine, too. Long as you stay on the Bible app, I'm okay with it. All right, let's go to Joshua. We're going to read Joshua 1 through 9. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Now it came after the death of Moses. You know what? Let's stand. How about that? Let's stand. I know. Oh, wow. Okay. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke it to Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, somebody say then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, let's sit. Let's get started. Y'all, in Joshua 1, we are transported right into a transition of leadership. It's not dynastic, meaning it's not from father to son. It's from one unrelated person to another, which could be grounds for disaster, but God sets it up. In verse 1 and 2, we find that Moses, God's servant, has died. And let's just be real. He died because of disobedience. He died because of disobedience. Moses, who was used by God to lead the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. This is Moses of the Red Sea. This is the Moses that God talked to face to face. This is Moses, Joshua's mentor, who gave him leadership advice and rebuke when he was wrong. Moses has died. And we know that Joshua has been serving Moses his entire life. In Numbers 11 and 28, it says from his youth. In Numbers 12 and 3, it says Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth. So Joshua had been serving the most humble man on the planet for 40 plus years. He had been learning humility, how to fail publicly, instruction, servitude from somebody he respected. And he also learned the consequences of disobedience to the Lord. For 40 plus years, Joshua had been in training when he didn't even know he was in training. And Joshua's calling to be Moses' successor wasn't sudden. He knew it was coming. Moses had told him, I can't go to the promised land. But God said, here's who will go. It will be Joshua. In Numbers 27, I give you these scriptures just so you should always ask someone, when somebody says something, you should say, how you know? How you know? Because if you parrot it to somebody else, they're going to say, how you know? So I give you these scriptures, not to list them off, but so that you know this is how I know. In Numbers 27:19, God says, have Joshua stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation and commission him in their sight. So this transition of successorship, Joshua knew was coming. He knew it was coming, but how many of you know, it's one thing to know it's coming, and it's one thing for the time to be now. The time is now. So in verse 2, I don't know if you caught this, but God tells Joshua, you're going to do in 3 days what Moses couldn't do in 40 years. In 3 days, you're going to take this people across the Jordan into the promised land. I'm sorry, what? Where? You're going to take this people into the promised land. Context. The Jordan is flooded. It's deep as the sea. It is impassable. There are no bridges. If you're going to wade or swim across it, those are the only two ways you would go by Jericho. So he says, hey, Joshua, impossible task without me. Impossible task without me. This is the successor of Moses. Now, if I was Joshua, It would seem like, God, wouldn't you try to set me up for success? Would my first mission be easy? Not so. God said, this is what you're going to do in 3 days. And then in verse 3 through 9, God just starts to renew the promise to Joshua. He keeps saying this phrase, just as I was with Moses. Just as I was with Moses, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. He tells him to be strong and courageous 3 times. The first time he says it, it's because you need to be strong and courageous to fulfill my promise for rest. It's going to take some strength and some courage. You're going to need to be strong and courageous to be obedient to the word. You're going to have to be strong and courageous to be obedient to the word. Because remember, Joshua knew just a little disobedience could mean death. We don't know it like that. Okay, because we're under grace. But how would we treat disobedience if we knew it meant death? It would keep us from promised land. We have grace. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. But man, the treatment of disobedience. Okay, third, he tells them to be strong and courageous because you're going to have the courage not to be afraid. Because you're going to go some places where you're going to be dismayed, but I won't leave you or forsake you. One theologian, F.B. Meyer, says, does God tell Joshua this 3 times because maybe Joshua felt the utter inadequacy of who he was faced with the mount of the task before him? So God has to, because God sees the heart. And so he said, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? I'm not going to leave you or forsake. Just like I was with Moses, be strong and courageous. Y'all, Joshua is silent. He does not speak. He does not speak. And I wonder if we've been there. I wonder if we have ever felt unequipped for the task that God has given us. Unequipped for the task. Asked to do something courageous and just felt, there's no way. There's no way. God, you're trying to set me up. You trying to set me up. Maybe he's told us what we need to do, but he didn't give us a how. So you're supposed to write a book. How? How? I've been telling you to start that business. How? I don't have the funds. I don't know how to start the business. How? Maybe he's giving you the what, but he didn't give you the how. Some of us feel ill-equipped just to be a Christian. Ill-equipped because somehow, somewhere along the way, you might think that Christianity is about perfection. And every time you're not perfect, you don't feel like you should be a Christian. You feel like a hypocrite, so you say, maybe that's not even for me. Maybe Christianity's not for me because I'm not perfect, as if Christianity was for the perfect. Hebrews 10 and 14 says that we are made perfect. We're made perfect. Those who follow Christ are made perfect. And it says, if I may paraphrase, and being perfected. How are you made perfect and being perfected? Yeah. We're made perfect by the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at us, the blood of Jesus is over us. He sees us as he sees him because of his righteousness, made perfect. But on earth, as we live this out in sanctification, we're being perfected. So that means that when you struggle with sin during the week, and I'm not talking about just you plan it and you practice it. I'm talking about the struggle is real. When you struggle with sin, that's because you're a Christian. That doesn't make you ill-equipped. That means you're fighting a battle. Okay? The evidence that you have a battle is a good thing. Yeah. Don't let Satan make you think that when the battle shows up, you ain't even supposed to be no Christian. See, that's why the enemy will make you think you shouldn't even be having them thoughts. You probably, I don't know why you go in there and praise. I heard what you was just talking about. If you're struggling with it, that's evidence. If you have had a task from God that you felt ill-equipped 4, you are just like Joshua. You are just like Joshua. Or maybe it's insecurity and comparison. So God has to keep saying, I'm going to do it for you like I did it for Moses. I'm going to do it for you like I did it for Pastor. I'm going to do it for you like I did it for them. He has to keep reassuring you because all you have in your mind is the comparison. Well, that's them, God. They already good at this. They don't have this. They didn't have the foundation I had. They don't have the hurt that I'm dealing with. Maybe the support system that somebody else has ain't your support system. Maybe they had father, mother. You didn't have that. And now you're asked to do what they're doing. That's not fair. That's what you say, right? That's not fair. God gives Joshua a huge task. It is impassable and impossible. And perhaps just like Joshua, we get real silent. We get real silent. And I think you should think, how would you respond? How would you respond when God calls? Verse 10 and 11 is how we should respond. By verse 10 and 11, when Joshua speaks, he says, hey, let's get prepared. Let's get prepared. Prepare you victuals. Prepare within 3 days we passing this over this river. We're going and possess the land, what the Lord gave us to possess. Sir, where did you get this confidence? You were silent from like 3 to 9. How'd you get to 10? How can we get to 10? And I think there are just the three points that I got when I thought about this. The first one is that courageousness is found in connection to him. McLaren, one of the theologians, says, courage that does not rest on Christ's presence, let me say it again, courage that does not rest on Christ's presence is audacity. You just out here with audacity. You out here not resting on Christ's presence, and you courageous? Courageous for what? Everybody wearing red, I've got the courage to wear blue, but you courage for what? You're just out here just loud and wrong. And you know what I'm saying? So courage for Christ is found in connection. It's only comforting though, what those promises of God are only comforting if I trust him. I don't trust him telling me he gonna leave me or forsake me, okay. That is not comfort if you don't trust him. If I don't think that God is bigger than what I am asked to do, him promising me anything doesn't really help me. So if you get the promises of God and they don't comfort you, you have to ask, how big do you think God is? How big is your God? And if you're not sure how big your God is, then you look, I'm not ashamed. How big, scriptures on how big God is. I just need to know from the word, like, what's the size of God? Can God handle cancer? Can God handle rejection? Can God handle depression, addiction, scripture? Let's see. Connection starts with accepting him as your personal savior and getting a relationship with him. And it can cause fear. There are some, and I was there. See, connection to him or closeness to him, he might ask me to do some things I don't want to do. What if he asked me for bravery because I know I need to cut them friends off? I don't want to. So I don't go to church because I'll get closer to him, and then I may have to stop doing what I'm doing. Right? Because we feel like Adam and Eve in the garden, we start covering up after we like sin, and we don't want to go to church because I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be fake because I don't want to stand in church like I'm not out here sinning. He already knows. Yeah. He already knows. In fact, this is the place you're supposed to come to. This is the place you're supposed to come to. When sin shows up out there, you're supposed to run in here. You're supposed to be running in here, but Satan will tell you, don't come in there. They're going to all look at you like, how could you fail? Who raise your hand if you're not failing. We're all struggling with sin. Some of us just dress it up better. Some of us just don't tell you about the past sin that we struggled with. Y'all, closeness with Christ is going to cost you some stuff. It might cost you some friends. It might cost you some TV shows. It might cost you some music that you like to listen to. It might cost you to just apologize to somebody. Now you gotta apologize because now you got intimacy with Christ and now it just don't sit well with you that you wronged them. You know you did, but you was right. You might have to apologize. The second point is that it's gonna take courage to accept the task. Joseph had to accept the task. We know in verse 10 and 11, that's exactly what he did. I'm thinking of Philippians 2:13. God who works in you it is God who works in you to will and to work in order to fulfill his good purpose, for his good pleasure. Who does the work? God. Who does the work in you? God. You don't muster up courage. You don't muster up strength. You have to pray to God, God, I need strength. God, I need courage. The weight of trying to muster up something that you were never meant to create is not, don't take that weight. It is God, Philippians 2:13 said it is God who works in you to will. To even have the want to pray is asking God for it. If you don't want to pray, then the prayer is, Lord, will you help me to want to pray? If you don't want to read the word, these are prayers I pray. Lord, will you help me to want to read the Bible? Because you might think it's supposed to be inerrantly in you. But this says it is God who works in you to will and to act. That means the want to starts with God. That means he's giving you the test and the answer. He's saying, I work in you to will and to work. So the question is, was Joshua already strong already? Because if he was already strong and courageous, then honestly, this passage doesn't encourage me, honestly, because then I'm like, well, I'm not already strong. I'm gonna need another passage of scripture. I'm gonna need a King Saul called to lead and hiding in the baggage. I get that. I'm gonna need a Gideon, Lord, I need a sign if you want me to do this. I need a Moses, Lord, you know my skill set. I don't know if you called the right person. If Joshua was already strong, then he wouldn't need God to keep telling him to be strong, right? So if he was made strong, then this passage is for everybody. Because then we can then therefore be made strong. And then I can be made strong. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? Okay, all right. We need a God. We need to understand that we have a God that's not disqualifying you because of weakness or frailty or mistakes. He's not disqualifying you. When you read this, what you should get to verse 10 is that if I'm not strong, God makes me strong. If I don't feel strong, Lord, can you make me strong? Lord, can you make me courageous? Because I don't feel that way. I don't want anybody to feel ill-equipped to be a Christian. Y'all, that is my story. In 2009, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis is when the nerves inside your body attack the body. So what that means is when you get a cold, the B and T cells, they say, I got you. I'm going for the cold. My body doesn't need a cold. It attacks the nerves on a good day and a bad day. So I have to use infusions to lower my immune system so that there's not many attackers out there, which means I am autoimmune. I have an immunosuppressive disease. So I went to the hospital one day because my wrist was numb. And they handed me papers that said, yeah, you have multiple sclerosis. You have an incurable nerve disease. This could take your sight, the ability to swallow, to think, to walk, to talk. Everything that you thought you depended on is if. And if the way they said it, it was when. It was when. My doctor said you should prepare for a lower quality of life. That's what the doctor said. The doctor told me that. And I, at the time, I was serving the Lord. I was in church. Can we be real here? I was being abstinent. I was like, Lord, I'm hitting on 100. There is no way that this diagnosis is for me. I was like, no, in Jesus' name, no. This right here, I don't know who this is for, but this ain't for me. I'll serve you. Don't serving me, serving you protect me from something? Like, what was the point of all that those no's if it don't protect me? That's how I felt. I was angry for a really long time. I was supposed to be planning for a career. I had bought my first home. I had a great job. I was living in Colorado, and I got this news that all these plans didn't even matter. That's how I felt. All the dreams you had, they need to die, because what if? What if? Within 6 years, I would have to sell the home, give away the car, move back home with mom in Dallas. It took everything. And I was looking at God like, okay, maybe he just rejected me. Maybe I did something. And that's why I got this. Because I, at the time, only knew a God who gave good things. I was listening to preachers that told me that health was mine and wealth was mine and I shouldn't be sick. If you're sick, you just don't believe enough. Well, So I'm the issue. So then I shy away from God because of God. If I'm not healed, then I must be the issue, then you don't want me. So I stopped going to church. I stopped tithing. Like, I was like, God, you ain't finna get my money. Like, he missed my money. You know what I'm saying? I was mad at God. But if you had asked me, I would have told you that God was good for you. He just wasn't good to me. And I didn't tell my friends. I didn't do anything. I just struggled. I struggled silently. I came to OCBF and started taking classes. This was the problem. The problem wasn't the multiple sclerosis. The problem was what it revealed. I was too strong. I was already strong. You know how they say you can't save a person who doesn't know they're drowning? Because they'll take you down. You have to wait until they stop so that you can come in and come get them. Just like it would be hard to teach a student who thinks they know everything. You can't be taught. You already know. Somebody has to come in teachable so that you can teach. Well, I just showed up to God already strong. I heard the diagnosis and said, yeah, I'm strong enough to get this. I just need you to heal me so I can keep going and doing what I was doing over here. And God said, if you're not going to show weakness, I can't be strong for you. What does showing weakness mean? I actually had to be transparent and tell my friends, I have this thing. I had to actually use the cane that I needed. I was out here struggling, y'all. I was out here going to the club and sitting down in every chair because my legs was hurting, but I wanted to dance. But then I would have to find chairs. Like, it was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous how strong I was trying to be to a God who was my strength. And so I prayed for healing, and I know I found, you know, the truth that God did love me. But God said, I need you to be weak. I need you to admit your weakness. And when I did that, he became incredible strength to me. Incredible strength. Did he take the MS away? No. But now my mindset is that he's my strength. Whether he takes it or not, he wins. He wins. Because now, and look, it's been 12 years. I shouldn't even be here. But God. So if you're trying to be strong and tell people that if the enemy has convinced you that you need to be strong, you take them to Joshua and you show them a Joshua made strong. I'm made courageous. It don't come inerrantly. In fact, it's really when he shows up that you admit your weakness. I don't have it. I don't have it all together. I don't know it. I've been struggling. Oh, get the enemy real bad, mad. Stand in complete rebellion to him. Go to a leader and say, here's what I'm really struggling with. Here's what I'm really struggling with. That's when Satan is hot. Because he don't mind you coming. He don't mind you coming to church. You want to pray for people, that's cool. But what he hates is that you start making your faith work. You start realizing the power that is within you. You get to verse 10 and 11 and you say, prepare. We possess in the land. Now, that's when he says, hold up, wait a minute. There's action here. So when you start to possess the land, when you believe God on whatever task he's called you, and you start to, you say, no, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I believe you. I believe you. Your promises do come from me. We are going to possess the land. Watch God work. Watch God work and watch Satan be mad. Watch everything in your life try to uproot you and distract you because he's mad. He's mad. And that's okay. And that's okay because he loses in the end. Y'all, we are called to be victorious on earth. Called to be victorious on earth while fighting a seemingly losing battle. Seemingly surrounded by the enemy, living in a strange world, called to be victorious. I want to, my last point before I leave is courage. It's going to take courage to be obedient to the word. What you have to do in order to recognize the lie is know the truth. What you have to do in order to recognize the lie is know the truth, because it's what Satan does. He don't just oppose the truth. He just like gets real close to it and just like, did God really say? He gets like real close to the truth. Okay? So you got to get in your word. What he told Joshua was, don't turn from the left or to the right, because he saw Moses, right? Moses' disobedience. All he did was he struck the rock and he didn't tell the rock. But that's so small. But God was saying, disobedience to me is everything. This thing is everything to me. And don't let that be a weight, because you have the Holy Spirit. Y'all, Joshua had 5 books to give him all of the strength he needed to do what he did. Y'all, we got 66 books, the Holy Spirit, resurrected Christ. Like, y'all, we got more than Joshua had. We got more than Joshua had. We should be able to do more. So it's going to take courage to be obedient to the world, to the word. Melissa Harris Perry, she's an author. She wrote this book called Sister Citizen, and they did like a post-World War II field independence study. Just stay with me. They tilted a room, okay? And then they watched participants walk in. One set of participants adjusted to the objects in the room, and they said, I'm standing up straight. They tilted the room, and they watched participants walk in, and they said, stand up straight. These participants used the objects in the room to figure out what straight was. Another set of participants walked in the room, saw the objects tilted, but said, that's not straight. This is straight. That they said the people who tilted were almost tilted like 35 degrees. Like, it was so clear. Y'all, we are living in a tilted society. We're living in a tilted society. In order to figure out if you're standing up straight in a strange world, you got to go see where Christ is. You do not say, don't say, I need to figure out where my feelings are. I need to figure out, well, it doesn't hurt anybody. No, that's over here. Does it hurt anybody? Does it feel okay? What do my emotions say? Well, what are my friends doing? What do my parents say? You need to figure out, wait, where's Christ? Where's Christ? Oh, he's okay. That's how we need to be standing. Yes. And the only way you know it is either you open up the word for yourself, ask somebody so you can figure out what standing up straight in a strange world is supposed to be like. Because sometimes it's hard to know. Let's just be honest. When abortion rights come up, we have to talk about these topics so we can figure out, well, where's Christ? Where's Christ? Because if you go outside and you base your everything, you're going to be tilted and you're not going to know it. So that when someone comes to you and says, I don't think that's the right way to be thinking, you think they're crazy because you're like, we've been standing straight. All my friends is this way. Y'all, tilted society. We've got to figure out where Christ is. So then you can look at Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world. All right? Y'all, so you chose a winning side, even though it looks like you're in a winning battle. I mean, a losing battle. We cannot negotiate with sin. We can't negotiate. We've got to figure out how we get the same response Joshua did when he got to verse 10 and 11. We've got to figure out, when he talks about being strong and courageous, every promise of God that's for us, that's for us. We've got to figure out, does that comfort me? Does that give me the confidence to do what he's calling me to do and be courageous and strong with the task he gave you to do? So one of the tasks he gave us collectively was to spread the gospel, right? He told you to give the gospel to people because we know it is life, so they can get into rest and peace with God. He told you to lead people into a promised land, just like he told Joshua. You have access every day. You have access every single day to do this. So now we ask, and I pray about everything, Lord, can you make me want to lead people? Lord, can you make me see the people I'm supposed to be telling about Christ? Lord, can you show me the places I've tilted when I should be standing straight? Lord, can you make me want to read the Bible? Lord, can I repent when your promises really don't comfort because I don't trust you? Lord, forgive me for I don't trust people, and so I put those people things on you. So, Lord, will you show me how to trust you? Lord, even though my circumstances, my MS, that don't feel right. It don't feel like a good God would give me a bad thing. Lord, can you show me how you're using this bad thing for your ultimate purpose and your glory? Lord, y'all, if our happiness was God's intended goal, if no pain for you was God's intended goal, if that was the measure of how he thought about you, well, then how he think about Christ? He was on the cross. How did he think about Paul? He was stoned and beaten. Just go through the disciples. So when somebody tries to tell you that this is supposed to be a life of no pain, it's all about your happiness. My truth, like all of these things that the world is telling you. How did God treat those he loved? How did God treat those he loved? Because this right here is just the training ground for our eternity. And I tell you this because I'm not speaking to you like somebody who's just teaching you who doesn't understand. I understand what it's like to have to fight a battle every day, to think it's unfair to get a task that you have no power to complete. But now I know that those verses 3-9 are the power to complete the task. You are made strong. You are made courageous. Take the weight off of you. And all that God has for you, he just wants you to ask him. He just wants you to ask him. He has all that you need to do what he's called you to do. So with a spirit of humility, you can come to him and say, I repent. I repent when I was too strong for you. I was trying to be strong to a God who is strong. Like, it just don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I recognize it. I recognize when I was tilted and I didn't know it. And I want you to have that same power. So I thank y'all for giving me some time today. I thank y'all for chatting with me about the word. Yes. And that's my time. I'm gonna pray real quick. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. How would we know? How would we stand up straight if you didn't give us the standard? How would we know, God, forgive us when we just tried to build the standard? God, would you show us the places where we've tilted? God, and would you give us the power? Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you. Would you work in us to have the courage to stand back up straight? God, we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
one thing that was said in the message was that courageousness is found in connection to God. What you need to understand first is you're disconnected from God because of your sin. Because you have fallen short, because you have missed his standard, you've missed the mark. You are disconnected from God, from the one who created you. And in order to be made alive, in order to be made strong, it starts with admitting that you're weak. It starts with admitting that you are broken, with admitting that you're dirty. When Isaiah saw the glorified Christ, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm dirty. My sin has made me filthy." And then he recognized the sin of everybody else. "I dwell in the midst of an unclean people." But he first recognized his own sin. And the only way that you will become connected to God is if you recognize that you are a sinner and that you have fallen short of the glory of God. Today's a good day to admit that, "Lord, I've sinned. I've fallen short of your glory, and I've never accepted you into my life." You may have been a rebel. You've been rebellious. You've been disobedient. You've disregarded God. You've never come to him. And we want to give that opportunity for you. If this is your first time, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, right now you are on your way to a place that's called hell. And it's separation from God. But God has provided a way of escape, and that is in a person, Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you from your sin. It's only in his name, the name of Jesus. He came, lived a perfect life to be the substitute for our sins. And it is by believing in him that you become saved. It's believing in him that you become strong. It's believing in him that you find that sense of belonging, that sense of purpose, that sense of acceptance, that all comes only in Jesus Christ, not in anything else in this world. It will all fail you, but Jesus won't. As the Lord said to Joshua, he's saying to you, he will not fail you. And so I'm going to count down to one. And if you have never committed, it's like saying, "I do." If you've never said, "I do," to Jesus, if you've never committed your life, today is the day for that. Tomorrow is not promised. You can die tomorrow. It's not promised. And so accept him today. In 3, 2, courageously raise up your hand. 1. If that is anybody in this room, I want you to courageously raise up your hand and say, "I want to say I do today." Maybe everyone in here is saved then. You've committed your life to Jesus, but you haven't been walking according to his word. He told Joshua, "Be careful to do all that is written in my word." And you have not been careful to do all what is written in his word. You've been more careful to do what the culture says than what Christ says. And you've been following your friends rather than following God. And you've been distracted from walking in the calling that God has called you to. You haven't been reading. You haven't been praying. You've fallen off the path, but today's a good day to get back. It's called repent. You change your mind, and that is manifested in your actions. You say, "God, I want to turn around today." And when you do that, God will not reject you. He says, "Come back. Come back to me. You messed up one time. Come back. You messed up twice. Come back. You messed up 3 times, 4 times. How many times was it this week you messed up?"
The Bible says in Proverbs that a righteous man or woman falls 7 times, but guess what? They get back up. So it's time for you, and whoever has failed this week, you feel like you're failing in your relationship with God. It's time for you, young person, to get back up. And in order to do that, you have to admit that, God, I'm weak, and you're going to have to help me get up. He wants to do that today. And so we have kingdom servants in this building wanting to pray for you, encourage you, and help you with whatever situation you're dealing with. And so maybe you're a believer, but you've been failing, and you want to get back on the right track. If that's you today, you want to get back right with God, I want you to raise your hand in 3, 2. If you feel like you're failing and you need encouragement, raise your hand. 1, raise your hand. If you feel like you're failing right now, whatever the situation was, we got one back young man right back here. I need kingdom servants to walk them to the altar call room. I saw a hand back here. We got a hand back here. And if you feel like that's not you right now, young people, let me train you right now. Pray for the person next to you. Right now, close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray for someone in this room, for their lives to be changed, for God to take over their mind, for God to take over their heart, for God to take over their situation that they're in. Maybe you want to stand in the gap for someone that you know that's not here. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your cousin that's struggling. Maybe it's a family member that's far away from God and you want to pray. Go to the altar call room. We want to pray with and for you and encourage you. In 3, 2, it takes courage. 1, raise your hand. There's still time. Everybody's head bowed. I'm going to pray. We're going to get into some discussion questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that was shared. And it all started with, if we want to be courageous, we must first be connected to you. I pray, God, for every young person that they would be connected to Jesus Christ and that nothing would distract them from being connected to you and maintaining that connection. I pray that these young people would be strong and courageous in a confused culture, in a strange culture that's trying to redefine what a woman is, redefine what a man is, redefine marriage, and come up with all these different definitions that oppose your word. But you told Joshua, as he was going into a strange land, to obey your word, to obey your standard. And so I pray for every young person that amid all the distractions in this strange world, that they would focus on you and that they would recognize that you are with them wherever they go. And because you are with them, they don't have to be afraid. You've called them, you've chosen them for the task that you have given them. And it's all about giving you glory and spreading the name of Jesus in the earth. Whatever situation they're struggling with, God, I pray, God, that you would show up in it. Show yourself strong. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.